I thank David for good songs this morning. Always enjoyable to join our voices in praise to God and sing together. This morning's lesson is titled, There's Power in the Word of God. And in my studies, I went through and to see how the Word of God works. And our world is the different ideas behind that, how God's Word works and how things happen in the world today, especially say if you're a Pentecostal background, you have different perspective of how things are conveyed today. And so it's a good study. And of all things, we go to God's Word to see what it says. It's an authority in these matters, and it claims that authority. And that's what I want to look at today. And as an introduction, I want to read a couple of passages here. In particular, Psalms 19 is the first passage I want to read. A Psalm of David says there in verses 7 through 14. We have a psalm that follows this passage, almost identical, I believe. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, as thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. David, and you see the heart of David expressed as he talked about God's word and God's ways and God's will. How great it is and how perfect it is. David understood these things. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, my way is truth. My way is truth. As we look and we study the New Testament, we want to present the case for following the doctrine we found written today. David understood that from Old Testament times. He understood the authority of God's will. He understood the power in God's will and how it would affect him if he followed it rightly. Jesus says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if you continue in my words, you are my disciples. You shall know the truth. So I want to look at that today. And there's three lessons that I've put together, and I'm probably going to already change it again. I continue to modify and adapt these as I learn and to pick up other passages and other ideas. But today's lesson is about the inspired word of God. By inspiration, I mean the actual word that God has spoken. And we'll see how he spoke that word, how it was transferred to us today. Knowing that and understanding that, we realize the great authority that the Word of God has, the Bible that we have here this day, the authority of that and the power that is within it. And it is inspired by God, it's breathed by God, it is sourced by God and not by man, not by human being. Also, we're going to look at later date, the Word's work in salvation. So many in the world today think, well, an operation upon my heart, and I was saved, and those things. And we're going to see that the Word is active in that. The Word does those things for us. If we have a feeling, that's not from God. God didn't tell us that's how we're going to be saved today. God didn't tell us that's how we're going to know what's right today, by a feeling. It's in His Word. We'll see the Word's work in salvation, and the Word's work in a Christian once we have been saved. How it affects us. And so today, looking at the power in the Word of God is the holy, inspired Word of God, directly from our Creator. And no passage probably better in Scripture defines this as Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As he's speaking in the Corinthian letter, talking about who is man, that he should be anything, that I'm, they were looking and putting men upon a pedestal, and in verse 12 of chapter 1, they were claiming that some were claiming I was a Paul, or some were Apollos, some were the Peter, and look who baptized me, and look how great this man was. And look how great, therefore, I must be. I've been baptized by somebody important. So they put this high impression upon men, or a high status of men. Look how great men were. We find out that what man placed in this is nothing. So this word revealed by God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting verse 9. It is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. There's the very first point that we want to look at here. It has not entered the heart of man what God has prepared for him. That's not the way God works. Verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. There it is. And we're going to make several points out of this passage, actually. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all the things, yea, the deep things of God. That's not our heart. That's not our feelings. That's the Holy Spirit of God. It searches the things that God has for us. Man does not know these things. God does. For what man knoweth the things of a man, say the Spirit of man, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. We know what we think. We know why we behave and act the way we do, because we understand ourselves. I can't tell you how someone else thinks and believes. That's what God is telling us here. His Spirit, and only his Spirit, can know the things that he has for us. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Inspiration there. We don't speak, Paul says, according to what we think. We speak by what the Holy Spirit taught him. So we see here again how this word is revealed. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is judged of no man. For who knoweth, or who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So my first point, as we read through, there is so much information in this passage of 1 Corinthians, so much, filled with so much information about the topic I'm talking about today, is that revelation had to happen for us to know the mind of God. There is no way for man to know and understand God's will except he revealed it for him. And we saw that as we read into verse 9 and verse 10. Eyes not seen, nor ears heard, neither entered the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him. But he revealed them unto us through the Holy Spirit. We cannot know those things. We cannot know them in and of ourselves. Even the Old Testament prophets understood this. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, it is not within man that walks to know what is right. And I've just butchered that passage. But he understood that it is not within himself to know what was right and what was wrong, only that God had taught him. Isaiah 55, a great passage there. Man's ways are not God's ways. As the heavens are higher than earth, so are God's ways higher than man's ways. And God's word will accomplish his purpose. God's revelation is required. We cannot know and understand God. We can't look at the world around and say, oh, well, look, this has to be godliness because we see these things, because we reason these things, because we figured out gravity and all these things. Therefore, we must know from the world around us what God wants for us. No, we don't see those things in creation. We don't see those things around. We can't discern those things by looking at them. God has revealed them through his word. Through this process, as Paul wrote about it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We can't know these things. Revelation by God was required. Revelation was required. We also see in this passage that the Holy Spirit was active in that. Verse 10, God revealed them unto us, being Paul, an apostle, by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed this. The Holy Spirit made these things known. Certainly Christ taught some things while he was on the earth, but even Christ taught in I got the passage there in John 14, 26, 15, 26, and 16, 13. Summarizing it there, God sent the Comforter. Jesus promised the Comforter. God sent the Comforter. The Comforter was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit revealed all truth to the apostles. That's what's stated here in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. In those particular verses, reading there, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In John 15, 26, the Comforter, when it's come, I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father. And in 16, 13, the Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you again into all truth. The Holy Spirit of God revealed this message, revealed these truths, and he revealed it to his apostles. So this mechanism by which God conveys to man the truths that he has for us, what he wants us to do, how he wants us to live, how he wants the church to look, he has revealed those things. We can't look and decide for ourselves. We can't direct our own footsteps, as Jeremiah says. God has directed them for us. We can't reason and say, well, we think it'd be better if the church did these things, or I think it'd be better if a person would do these things. If it's not by God's will, it's not better. If it's not by God's will, it's not right. God knows. There's power in this word of God. Even in the Old Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, even the Old Testament passage, even though we see these teachings in the New Testament, which is important for us, even the Old Testament prophets were guided by the same Holy Spirit. The Old Testament prophets were guided by the same Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy in old time came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All the Old Testament prophets, these men were guided by the same Spirit that guided the New Testament apostles. The Holy Spirit revealed this truth. There is power in this word. It is from our Creator. There's great power in this word. And then as we see, as we made the connection already in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, this message was conveyed to the apostles. And as we look at the Scripture, we see that the apostles, as they received the Holy Spirit, a special Spirit, not the one that so many other people could use. The apostles received a special Spirit. In Acts chapter 2. They did many miraculous works. They had the message of the gospel of Christ. They had the message of God for mankind. And once again, Paul makes that same statement there in the passage we read in 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 9 and following there, that the Holy Spirit delivered it to them, as Paul said, unto us in verse 10, but God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The apostles had this information. The apostles were given this information. Promised by Jesus through the Holy Spirit from, sourced from, God. It's not something that was given to all of mankind. This is something specifically given to the apostles as they went about teaching and preaching the Word of God. They had a special gift. They had the revelation of Jesus Christ from God. And as we see, as the apostles dealt with the churches, and first, especially in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. They recognized the authority that the apostles had. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 reads there, we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth, the word of God, which works in you that believe. It's not the word of men. Thessalonians realized that. And also the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, a similar passage there. 1 Corinthians 14, 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of God. The apostles were given this authority. This information was delivered to the apostles. They claim that authority, and the recipients of that authority recognize that as well, as we saw with the Thessalonians. Not only was it message given to the apostles, but who's to say the apostle was an apostle? There was many men who went about in New Testament times trying to claim that they were from God. They were trying to claim they was the Messiah. How was they to know that if this was a true prophet? The message was confirmed by them of that day. Jesus told them in Mark 16, 15 through 18 that there would be confirmation that they were from God. There in Mark chapter 15, chapter 16, starting at verse 15, "Go you to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." Passage we probably all have memorized. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak in new tongues, they shall take up serpents, they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." These signs will follow them. The apostles, when they spoke, they had confirming signs as to know that they were from God, that they weren't just some man out there speaking. The people in New Testament times knew that, and we have recorded for us that we know that as well. And we find in Hebrews chapter 2 that that is exactly what happened. If you want to read the entire account of Acts, you see these events, but the Hebrew writer sums it up for us here in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape? Let's back up. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at first began to be spoke by the Lord and confirmed to us by them that heard him? God also bearing him witness with signs and wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." These apostles, their message was confirmed through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they were able to operate with various miracles, casting out demons, and all of these things happened to confirm that message. That there was no doubt in the New Testament Christian's mind that this man was from God. They had this message, they had this information, they could discern they was from God. This word that we have is powerful because it is from our God and our Creator. So we see that this power in the Word, in fact, it is revelation of God, and it was required to be revealed from God. We have no way of knowing outside of what Scripture says. We can't see that in our heart. We can't discern it in our heart. There's nobody I saw a lesson this week about the Holy Spirit, and a man person went to the hospital, and a Pentecostal doctor, he said, talking to him, he said, "You ever feel this thing right on top of your head, just inspiration?" And I was like, "No." But God, when he speaks to someone or tells us something, presses on us. Pressure. Then you know it's right. No. Paul said in Corinthians, the only way that happens is when God reveals it to us. He don't make us feel. He tells us his word. So revelation is required. God sent the Holy Spirit to the apostles to reveal that word. That was a mechanism that was used. The Holy Spirit in it. And if you notice in the 1 Corinthians passage, I didn't always notice this. The 1 Corinthians passage, it taught the apostles. You wonder how that happened? It says it taught the apostles. "Search the deep thing, think about for what man." But they were taught that. And they said they speak not in words of man's wisdom, but the words which the Holy Ghost teaches in verse 13. The Holy Ghost taught the apostles those things, and the apostles conveyed that message. You know, it's even said today that, this is the Catholic Church's Bible. They are the ones that gave us this Bible. I've heard that many, many times. I heard a gentleman say that there are writings now sufficient enough to recreate our Bible that existed long before the Catholic Church ever came into existence. There are manuscripts that exist to recreate. This is not a Catholic book. This is the Word of God. We can go today and recreate this entire book from the manuscripts that existed before the Catholic Church ever existed. There's power in this book. This is not a Catholic doctrine. We need to be concerned if someone say this is from man, or this is a source from man. This is not man's book. This is God's book. And I didn't in this lesson attempt to go about and to provide external proof so much of this power in this word, but there is power in the word of God that we have. Knowing these things, just very quickly here, I got the last few points. We'll go through and not belabor them a whole lot. But knowing these things, there's a few other facts that are very prominent in Scripture that we should be, it'd be good to know and to remember. First of all, the Bible is complete. We have everything we need to have. Timothy says, to make us thoroughly complete unto every good work. It can make us complete. And the apostles were told in John, they would receive all truth. The word we have is full. It is complete. It is all we need. We don't need to add anything to it. It is sufficient. It is sufficient to save souls. Remember the rich man of Lazarus? What did the rich man, when he's sitting in torment, what did he want done? Send someone from the grave that they will convert, that they'll change. Send someone from the grave. What was the answer? They have Moses and the prophets, wasn't it? Let them hear them. God's word is sufficient to do what God's will is to accomplish God's purpose. It is sufficient. It is enduring. It is enduring for all time. We have words written to the men and women of that day. Yet how much do we not see how much they apply to us today? There is nothing that needs to change. There's nothing about society that's changed that we need to change God's word. There's nothing that means the society has changed that means we need to change the church. The church is sufficient the way God has designed it. The Christian is sufficient the way God has designed it, no matter what age he lives in, no matter how advanced our society is. God's word still applies. What's right is still right, and what's wrong is still wrong, no matter. We have people today who question everything in regard that there's no truth anymore. Well, there is truth. There is facts. God's word is truth. There's power in this word. It is enduring for all people of all times. Most importantly, we lose sight of the fact that strict adherence is commanded. Strict adherence is expected. Timothy was warned to be diligent, to rightly divide it, to properly interpret it. He was warned to properly interpret it and to apply it. Be diligent at it. Paul taught the Thessalonians, if one does not hear our word, there are certain things they're supposed to do. Strict adherence was commanded. We read that passage in Hebrews chapter 2. We must give the more earnest heed to things which are spoken. Because in the end, this word that we have, the revealed mind of God, as it sits in front of us, is going to judge us in that last day. Jesus says that. This word will judge us. We will be judged by it. We need to be concerned about it. We need to be concerned about what it says, about how we should live, how we should behave, what we should be doing, even what the church should be doing. He has left the instructions for us. They are here within it. There is power in this word of God. It is the revealed mind of God left for us today to study and to learn from it and apply it in our lives. Because you know, so many times in our world, people think, well, God's going to make me do what's right. You know, the devil's been conquered, and if the devil could win, then it makes this whole process of no avail. It's Christ's death was in vain if I can sin. Well, you can. We have to know and understand. Satan is after us. We must know this will. We must know how to apply this will. We must practice this will. Because we can fail. Jesus says this word is what will judge us. There is great power in the word of God. It is the revealed mind of God. It is complete, it's sufficient, it endures forever, and a strict adherence to this command because it's going to judge us in the last day. I hope you find the lesson instruction of value to you today. If you have not begun your walk as a Christian, we encourage you this very day to accept the words of the gospel, that you be baptized as Jesus commanded and as the apostles commanded and did throughout the New Testament. Have your sins washed away. And if you begin that walk and you stumbled and failed along the way, ask that you make that right this morning as well. Don't go into judgment with sin. Don't go into judgment. The process that we're shown in the Bible tells us that we can go to God and have our sins forgiven if we're Christians. We go to God in prayer and have our sins forgiven. So if you're subject to our gospel's call in any way this morning, won't you come while we stand and as we sing?